there also will my servant be. This past week, Father Anthony went east to Gallup on a mission trip, and I went west to Los Angeles on a mission trip. And we stayed with the Carmelite sisters there in Alhambra. And one of the things we helped them with was some spring cleaning. And so they had these closets that had been filled with all sorts of things. And so that was very easy just to pull everything out. And then they said, help us sort it. And I'm like, oh, okay, somebody else's stuff, but sure, you know. So I start taking stuff and I'm like, this is definitely giveaway. This I think is trash. And then I was doing that for a while, and then one of the sisters came through and proceeded to pull everything back out of the piles and said, we are going to keep all this. To which I was like, well, then why are we even here? And I found myself getting really frustrated. Meanwhile, another sister came in and said, oh, we need three people to help make cookies for the event that's happening. And it's like, Shrek, pick me, pick me. I was like, ah. And she's like, oh, so you three girls come with me. And I was like, ah. Oh. And so I'm sitting there like, I really could have used a cookie, but I'm very frustrated. And then I realized, what's the whole point of me being here? Like, I chose to be on a mission trip. I chose to come here to serve. And they're asking me to help them do this thing that it's not about what I want to do. That the whole reason I went there was to join them and to take up some service and stuff that I probably wouldn't like anyways. And that if this is where the sisters were, then this is where I should be. And the scripture verse today says, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there also will my servant be. And it was a microcosm of Lent, that Lent is me choosing to follow God where he wants to go and not what I want to do. And how good God is, I went and visited the people in the kitchen later, as soon as I could. And I walked in and they said, hey, Father Matt, we saved you a cookie. And then the lady who like organized the whole thing, before she left, everybody had a cookie. And she said, you know what, Father Matt? I saw your eyes light up when you got that cookie. So you can have my cookie too. And I was like, God, you're so good that even though I'm a chump and selfish, that you are never outdone in generosity. Jesus, who invites us to be with him where he is, lays out the plan. But it's a different, curious kind of plan than what we would probably ever paint. The letter to Hebrews today tells us Jesus offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Jesus called out to the Father who hears him, and he was heard. And then what happened? You and I know the next chapter, the next part of the story, in which Jesus suffers and dies. And I hear that, and I look at that, and I say, that doesn't feel like he was heard. Because I know the prayer in my heart. I don't want to suffer. Like, God, I want to do your will, but I wish that it were very easy. And the truth is that God hears all prayers. But the Father accomplishes his will, that somehow God hearing the Son, the Father hearing the Son, included his suffering. And that's important for me to hear, because sometimes I can believe the lie that if I'm suffering, the lie is that maybe I've done something wrong. Because it feels like if God loved me, if God was listening to me, then it would feel a lot nicer. But Jesus, who does the Father's will perfectly, it includes the cross. It includes the suffering. And Jesus, he knows this. He says, Father, what should I say, thinking about the cross to come? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. That Jesus' greatest mission, the greatest part of his mission, is to accept the cross. And so Jesus is setting this up. And the church, likewise, is helping set up the next couple weeks. That as we, next week, we look at, it's Palm Sunday, and then we go into Holy Week. And that we're invited to walk with Jesus, that as disciples, to follow the Lamb of God wherever he goes. And so our gospel today, it starts with some Greeks, some outsiders, saying to Philip, we want to see Jesus. So here comes these outsiders coming to see Jesus as God, and they want to hear what he's all about. And what does Jesus say? Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Jesus is saying, if you want to know what I'm about the cross. That I'm about, it sounds negative to say it this way, but I'm about dying out of love for my people. That's the heart of who Jesus is. That's what his whole mission is about. And our head, our leader, invites you and I, his followers, to follow where he goes. And that's really hard. That's not what I want. Jesus says elsewhere, well, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And so you and I are invited to die to our own will and to trust that God will bear much fruit from it. And through that comes glory. Father, glorify your name. And the Father, the voice from heaven, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. That somehow God's greatest moment of glory, Jesus' greatest moment of glory, is the cross. And we hear that, we look at that, and we say, there's something wrong with that. Like, do we have a God who's a glutton for punishment? No. We have a God who loves us so much that he would not leave us alone in our suffering, but would choose to come be with us, to take it on his own shoulders. And you and I have an invitation this day and every day to choose to embrace the cross also, to choose to follow the Lamb, knowing it's the path to eternal life. And that's what Jesus wanted these Greeks and outsiders and new people to know. This is what I'm all about. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But this is the path to new life if you have the courage to follow it. A few weeks ago, we had our student retreat, and the thing that struck me the most was something none of the retreatants saw. That leading up to the 24 hours before the retreat, there were a few shiftings on the retreat and staffings, and this young man, who had only been on one retreat himself before, he was asked if he would put aside all the work he had done up to that point and lead a small group. And he said, okay. And then on the retreat, he stood up and he gave a talk. He was already planning on giving a talk. And he spoke about how in the last 6 months, he really has come to know God's love for him. And he said to the people, he actually got teared up as he shared about God's love. And what I noticed was he didn't say, and God loves us so much. What he said was, like, God died for me. He said, Jesus died for me. That Jesus died for me. That Jesus loves me. And for me, that was the moment it clicked, that the reason he said yes to setting aside all the hard work and preparation he had done to go in a totally new direction in which he might feel unprepared and incompetent, or I don't know what he felt, but he was able to step into that situation with freedom because he knew that God was leading him there. He was willing to die to what he had planned and to embrace what God was doing it. And he did phenomenal on the retreat. And I think for you and I, it's in little situations like that, that can I, when I face something that I don't want, can I choose to embrace it? When someone I care about gets sick, can I choose to accept it, saying, all right, Lord, I don't like this, but Jesus, I trust in you, so be it. Maybe we get sick. God, I don't like this, but I trust you, so be it. When I don't get the opportunity that I was hoping for, when things don't go the way I want them to, okay, Jesus, I trust you, so be it. I choose this also. That's where our Christian life is lived, in that those small decisions. I want to draw attention to our opening prayer today. Our opening prayer, I think, sets this up today, what we're hearing. We pray, by your help, we beseech you, Lord our God, may we walk eagerly in that same charity with which, out of love for the world, your Son handed himself over to death. So whether you realize it or not, today, we prayed, asking for God's help to be able to walk that same path of love that Jesus did. And we need God's grace. We need God's help to be able to do that in little and in big ways. Father Dan reminded me of this story I want to share with you. In November of 1792 in France, it was a terrible time to be Catholic. It was illegal to pray in public. It was illegal to practice your faith. It was illegal to wear like clerical or religious attire for everybody. There was a group, the Carmelite Sisters of Compiègne in France, called the Carmelite Sisters, and they had been enduring this time where it was illegal to be Catholic. And at that point, I pick up the story in November of 1792, because that's when they made the decision. They said, okay, God, we're seeing a whole lot of suffering all around us. And Lord, we choose to offer us, we sisters, we will offer ourselves as a way to end this reign of terror. That we offer ourselves for the salvation of France so that people who are arrested will be released, and that fewer people will die because of their Catholic faith. And the Mother Superior said to her sisters, she instructed them, what we want to do is we want to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Pray for the grace to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And so they were arrested and some different things happened. And then on July 17th of the next year, the guards came and were leading them to their death, to the guillotine. And the sisters knew what was happening. But what surprised the crowd is that the sisters were singing the whole way. That they knew where they were going. That they were going to be with the one who loves them. And as they got to the base of the guillotine, we know all this because it was public spectacle and historians accounted, wrote it down what happened, that the youngest sister had actually was so new to the community that she was newer. She hadn't done her solemn profession yet. And so she came up to the Mother Superior and And there, in front of everybody, briefly, she made her solemn profession. And the mother received that. And then she said to the mother superior, "Permission to die, mother." That her first and biggest act of obedience as a solemnly professed sister was to ask for permission to die. And the mother said, "Go, my daughter." And one sister after another, starting with the youngest and going up to lastly the mother superior, walked up to the mother superior and said, "Permission to die, mother." And the mother said, "Go, my daughter." Then finally the mother superior went. And 10 days later, the reign of terror ended in France. That it came to an end, and Catholics were saved from further death and persecution. And these sisters who followed the Lamb wherever he led now share in his glory, and we call them saints. At the end of Mass, there's going to be a prayer over the people that we have as an option during Lent. And this is what I will pray for God's blessing over you, what the Church gives us. Bless, O Lord, your people who long for the gift of your mercy, and grant that what at your prompting they desire, they may receive by your generous gift. That what we desire, that the deepest desires of our heart for happiness, for peace, for connection, something so much better than desiring a simple cookie, but something of great meaning, everlasting meaning, that God will give us. We accept the cross, we pray for the grace to accept the cross and his will, and choose to be where he is. We choose to be where he is, so that one day, where he is, there also we his servants will be.